Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." The first ever Korean feature-length cartoon film was Robot Taekwon V in 1976. I vividly remember seeing it during summer holiday when I was in 5th grade in elementary school. It is a story of a robot who performs Taekwondo, fighting the evil forces called the Red Star Corps. The protagonist of the film is, of course, Robot Taekwon V, and the role of the antagonist is reserved for Dr. Kaff. Dr. Kaff was once a genius physicist building robots with Dr. Kim, but he is ridiculed at the World Scientist Forum for being small and ugly. Dr. Kaff goes up to the podium to present his research thesis, but the audience could not see him because he was so small. The other scientists remark, "Oh no, where is he?" and laughs out loud. At that moment, Dr. Kim quickly brings a chair and lets Dr. Kaff stand on it. The other scientists laughed out harder. During the presentation, Dr. Kaff missed a step and fell down from the chair, and his head landed on the floor while his legs wavered in air. The other scientists ridiculed, "Your head is bigger than your body." This incident left Dr. Kaff scarred for life. Dr. Kaff says to Dr. Kim, "This forum seemed like an event set up deliberately to ridicule me. But as long as they stop laughing at me, I will use this earth-sized head of mine to stop their laughter. I will disappear, and when I come back, they will be afraid of me like a child meeting a tiger." After this, Dr. Kaff disappears, and years later, he comes back as an existence that is a danger to world peace. Dr. Kaff is a fictional figure in a cartoon film, but he is an illustration of how much appearance-oriented views can be a fatal weapon to people. Furthermore, he exemplifies how a sense of inferiority and disadvantage, distorted self-esteem, can become a destructive weapon if heavily weighed upon. The robots that Dr. Kaff made in the movie, the fencing robot, wrestling robot, taekwondo robot, were all made from using senses of inferiority from athletes who lost in each of their sport. Sense of inferiority can be the weapon among all weapons that destroy other people. This is because sense of inferiority has already hurt the inner person in question, and the pain does not leave him or her alone. In today's scripture, we meet a person that has a great resemblance to Dr. Kaff. Jesus is on his way to fulfill his purpose on this earth, to complete salvation through death on the cross in Jerusalem, and is currently passing through Jericho. When God explained that Canaan land that he promised to give to the Exodus Israel descendants, He described it as land of milk and honey. The west of Israel is surrounded by mountains and deserts, but the northern part, on the west side of Lake Galilee, the Jezreel Plain and the Sharon Plain on the Mediterranean coast, was a breadbasket of Israel. So when people go on pilgrimage to Israel and look over the southern part of Israel, they often question, is this really the place that God described as land of milk and honey? Yet, the northern side appropriately shows the land of milk and honey. The largest breadbasket of Israel is the Jezreel Plain, and the name Jezreel means where God spreads his seeds. The Naboth's vineyard that King Ahab so desired was also in Jezreel. The west of Israel is extremely infertile and unproductive land, with the exception of Jericho. The word honey in the phrase land of milk and honey rarely refers to bee honey in the Bible. Only the honey mentioned in Samson and Jonathan's story, or only in the book of Proverbs, does honey actually mean honey from the bees. To the Jews, honey usually meant date palms from the palm tree melting from the heat. So, the milk in the phrase land of milk and honey refers to the full grass plain that sheep and goats can eat from, and honey refers to summer fruit trees that are as sweet as the fruits of palm trees. So the Canaan land is a balanced combination of ranching and farming land. Jericho was a city full of palm trees. Because of these geological characteristics, Jericho was developed to the extent that a city was already formed during BC 7000, when archaeologically it is still categorized as Neolithic or New Stone Age era. The Bible introduces the person that Jesus is about to meet in Jericho as such. Today's scripture, verse 2, reads, "A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy." He was Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax collector of Jericho. Thus, he would have had quite influential figure in Jericho. In Korea, if we recall law firms or accounting firms, then few representative places come to mind. If there was an accounting firm 2,000 years ago in Jericho, then the firm led by Zacchaeus, the Zacchaeus accounting firm, would be the top in revenue. So, he was a wealthy man. There are a few people in the Bible who are likely to have been quite wealthy, such as Abraham and Job, David and Solomon, and other kings. Yet, there are only three mentioned wealthy men in the Korean translation of the Bible. The first is Barzillai, who was 80 years old and was one of David's senior officers. When David and his men were on the run from his son Absalom, Barzillai risked his life and provided the necessary goods during their refuge. Barzillai provided and served not only flour and barley, but also honey, butter, lamb, and cheese as well as bed and wash basin. The second wealthy man was Joseph of Arimathea, who willingly brought forward a never-been-used new tomb for Jesus' burial. Jesus arose from the dead from that tomb. And the third is Zacchaeus. From the Bible's illustration of him as a wealthy man, it can be inferred that from his job as a tax collector, he had gathered an extreme amount of wealth. Zacchaeus must have worked relentlessly to have become a chief tax collector. However, there was an emptiness in Zacchaeus' life. His position as a chief tax collector, nor his wealth, could fill that emptiness. Verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a sure man, he could not because of the crowd. During Jesus' life of teaching, one of the nicknames that people gave him was friend of tax collectors and sinners. To the people of that time, sinners, and particularly tax collectors, were not someone to be friends with or relate to. They were subject of criticism and condemnation. particularly towards tax collectors. People could not be rude to them directly because of collectors' wealth. So, while being polite on the outside, collectors were in fact someone to keep the distance from. Yet, Jesus acted the opposite. Jesus did not refuse to be a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Zacchaeus must have been curious of what kind of person Jesus was. However, there was a barrier for Zacchaeus to get closer to Jesus. The Bible records that he was a short man. How small would he have been, about 160 centimeters or 150 centimeters, or even smaller? Questions such as these are of no importance. When the Bible mentions a character of a person's appearance, it means that the characteristic had a great influence in that person's life. When Samuel was a young boy, Israel was in spiritual darkness. The priest of the time was Eli. The Bible only describes him as a priest, but in fact, he was ruling Israel as a chief priest and as a prophet. About him, the Bible records in 1 Samuel 4:15. Eli was a 98 years old and whose eyes were set so that he could not see. I started to become farsighted due to aging from my early 40s. It is only then natural for priest Eli's eyesight to deteriorate when he was 98 years old. The reason that such an obvious fact was mentioned was not to tell us that we need to get ourselves omnifocal glasses or to get contacts before our eyesight deteriorate. The deterioration in his physical eyesight symbolizes that his spiritual eyesight has become dull, that he is in no position to properly perform the role of a priest nor the role of a prophet, and that he was actually not doing his work properly. Deuteronomy chapter 34:7 illustrates as such about Moses, who was 22 years older than priest Eli. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak nor his strength gone. The fact that Moses' eyes were not weak at the moment of his death is a way of recording that Moses' judgment did not falter even at the end, that he lived a spiritually sensitive life, and that he well performed what was given to him until the very end. In our Churches Wednesday and small gatherings, we are studying 2 Samuel, the story of David, after he became the king of Israel. David's throne became sturdy as years passed and Israel stabilized. Then, all of a sudden, he remembered Jonathan, who gave him endless support and mercy, and recalled the promise he had made with Jonathan. He searched for someone left in Saul's household, and there was Ziba, Saul's servant. So David called Ziba and asked if there were any descendants of Saul who were still alive. This was Ziba's answer. 2 Samuel chapter 9:3-3. Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet." The Bible chooses its words carefully. It uses words in moderation and selects necessary words. Ziba answered David that there was a son of Jonathan. When Ziba talked about Jonathan's son, he could have said his name. Naturally for us, we would have thought that he would say the name first, or his name, or where he was living. But among all things, Ziba commented that the son was a disabled person, crippled in both feet. And the author of the Bible repeats this fact again while finishing the story. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 13. "And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet." One of the major talking points of modern day people is health. So, naturally, there are many newly coined words arising about health. In ancient times as well, physical strength was considered extremely important. At the time, physical strength was directly correlated to his or her capability, so candidates for priests should be someone without physical disabilities. Furthermore, feet or legs were a symbol of manliness, and thus often used to measure strength. To the people of the time, winning or surviving a war depended on fast feet. Prophet Habakkuk talked about those in need of God's help, said, "The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on to the heights." So, to say that Mephibosheth crippled in both feet is to say that he was totally incompetent. He was someone that could do nothing with his own strength, could not survive without someone else's help. Particularly, it emphasizes that although he was deposed of royal blood, he could never rally forces around him to build his own kingdom. Among David's sons, Absalom was the third. About him, 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 25 to 26 describes as such. "In all Israel, there was not a man so highly praised for his handsome appearance as Absalom. From the top of his head to the sole of his foot, there was no blemish in him. Whenever he cut the hair off his head, he used to cut his hair from time to time when it became too heavy for him. He would weigh it, and its weight was 200 shekels by the royal standard." The Bible remarks that Absalom was not only the most handsome man in all of Israel, but from the top of his head to the sole of his foot, there was no blemish in him. Those that play the siren role in TV series and in movies look handsome and beautiful. It seems that they would have no sense of inferiority about their looks. Yet, I have never seen anyone, when they appear on talk shows or entertainment, who says that they are 100% satisfied with their looks or that they feel nothing is lacking from their appearance. Everyone has something that they feel is lacking. My ears are not pretty. The size of my eyes is different on each side. My right face is okay, but the left is less pretty, and so on. Of course, they are trivial elements that someone ordinary like me doesn't notice in the first place. But it is said that Absalom did not have any faults from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. According to New Coined Words, he was a beauty and a buff. Among all else, his biggest pride was his hair. At the time, Israelites thought hair was a source of strength and courage. I bet they thought of Samson's image. And the fact that it was abundant and quickly grew meant that Absalom's appearance gave a sense of mystery and strength to the Israel people. Absalom was proud of his hair, and the people looked upon him with trust. However, what Bible records of Absalom's appearance is a foreshadow of how his exceptional appearance became the fatality of his life. 2 Samuel chapter 18:9. "Now Absalom happened to meet David's men. He was riding his mule, and as the mule went under the thick branches of a large oak, Absalom's head got caught in the tree. He was left hanging in midair, while the mule he was riding kept on going." Absalom, using his flawless looks, stole the heart of Israelites and ultimately staged a coup d'etat against his father David. At first, it looked as if he had succeeded, but God shook his head. In the end, the coup d'etat failed and he was on the run. He ran on a mule, and as the mule went under a thick oak tree, his hair got caught in the branches. Only the mule ran away, and Absalom was hanging with his head on the tree. In the end, Absalom dies by his cousin Joab's sword, stabbed to the heart. Absalom lost his life due to his hair that he was so proud of. So, when the Bible says that Zacchaeus' height was small, it means that his height had a massive impact in his life. It is as if Dr. Kaff was a genius physicist but declared revenge on the entire earth after he was ridiculed for his ugly appearance big head size and small height. Zacchaeus became a tax collector and extorted wealth by deceiving and down on other people. I will read again verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. Zacchaeus wanted to see what kind of person Jesus was, passing through Jericho. However, it was not easy for him. There were two things barricading his way. The first was his small height, and the second was that there was a crowd. If small height is a personal, internal barrier, then the crowd is an environmental issue, an external barrier. When we want to get to know the Lord more, and to communicate with him better, and to live the life of God as our purpose, it never comes naturally. There are always barriers. It may be external or internal. In Mark 2, there is an episode of Jesus healing a paralytic patient in Capernaum. Paralysis is an illness that comes suddenly due to malfunction in the brain vascular, leading to paralysis in the facial nerves, leaving the mouth and eyes to tilt sideways, or half-body paralysis, or a speech disorder, and so on. It is near impossible for a paralytic patient to come to Jesus for healing with his or her own feet. Thus, four people took the patient to Jesus. But in the house that Jesus was residing, there were too many people gathered that the four could not go through it. The four people eventually took down the roof and lowered down the bed that the paralytic patient was lying on. The Israel house at the time is very differently structured from that of the Korean house. The average rain in the Palestine area is 1/5 of Korea. Commonly, the regions that rain a lot have pointy roofs because the roof may fall if snow or rain builds up. On the other hand, in regions with less rain, the roofs are flat because rain and snow does not often build up. So the roofs in the Palestinians were flat. Most houses have stairs to the roof and anyone can easily come up. As the regional weather is not so cold, the walls or the roofs were not thick. The ceiling was also low, so it would have not been difficult to tear up the roof and to lower down the patient on a bed. As the paralytic patient and the four people overcame the environmental external barrier, they experienced God's forgiveness and healing. Furthermore, on his way to Israel after finishing his third missionary journey, disciple Paul spoke of his sentiments to the elders of Ephesus Church that he had once served for 3 years in Miletus. Acts chapter 20, verse 22 to 24. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Paul is a disciple that the resurrected Lord appointed himself. Despite this, there were all sorts of hardship in Paul's mission. What the Holy Spirit warned Apostle Paul was that prison and hardships are facing him. So, Paul was under external persecution everywhere he went. He was imprisoned various times, hit on countlessly, at times thrown stone nearing death, faced death in rivers and in seas, and often threatened. Yet, he did not consider even his life worthy if he could complete the task appointed to him, the task of testifying God's grace. It is because Apostle Paul never gave himself entirely to God, despite external factors, that he is the model of our faith even 2,000 years after. Zacchaeus was small. This weighed him down psychologically, and it could have made him into a tax collector. But Not even such abundance in wealth was a solution to his dissatisfaction. However, being small helped him open up his heart to the Lord and led him to the Lord. If he was one head size taller than other people and was handsome like Absalom, not to mention wealthy, then, as many people at the time did, he would have considered Jesus only as a lowly carpenter from Nazareth, where nothing good can come out from. Loving members of the congregation, under what weighing circumstances and despair are you facing? Just like the crowd that is holding Zacchaeus back, what are the barriers that are holding you back? Do you feel like a small boat amidst endless sea, not knowing what to do or how to do it? Or does your life look only dark because you are currently passing through an endless tunnel? Or are you under humiliation due to ridicules and hurts as Zacchaeus would have faced in his youth? Let us not forget, God is coming towards us to meet us. Or do you have a sense of inferiority like the small Zacchaeus? Are there parts of your body that you do not like? Or do you wake up at night in pain from past moments from youth? Or are you crying due to problems of health, finance, or of relationship? Then, that is a time for you to meet God more deeply. Bring yourself in front of God just as you are. Do not decorate yourself, nor exaggerate. Give yourself plainly to God. Then despair will turn into hope, and the grace of God will give you peace that the secular world cannot. But that is not the end. We Christians are people who resemble Christ. We do not collapse in each of the situations we face, but overcome the environment. We meet Christ because of individual problems and weighing downs. And if we have become someone who overcomes such issues and barriers, we should become the path for others to experience the same healing and grace of the Lord. Only those that have suffered from illness know the pain of others in illness. Only those that know the despair of hunger knows others in hunger. And only those who have shed tears while passing through the valley of sadness can wipe the tear away from those crying. Dear members of the congregation, the small height that blocked Zacchaeus and the crowd was not for the Lord to ignore or abandon Zacchaeus, but the exact opposite. So, the pain and suffering that we experience is like the path of grace to meet God more rightly and deeply. If we have experienced God's grace and work, let us trust God our power, become God's hands, and share the same grace and work. Then to whom? To Zacchaeus right next to us. Let us pray. Father God, Zacchaeus became the tax collector, gathered such wealth, but still there was an emptiness that could not be filled. So, he wanted to see what kind of being Jesus was, but to do that, he was small and there were many people before him. Zacchaeus' small height weighed him down and may have made him into a tax collector, but it also served as a link to open his heart towards you. Also, the crowd before him was a barrier for him to see you passing through Jericho, but it also served as a stepping stone for him to climb up the fig tree and to see you more clearly. Father God, looking back, there are things that have weighed us down, so we anticipate eagerly to get away from it. Yet, when we think about it, because of those same factors, we seek your grace more and live with you as our purpose. Moreover, there are environmental factors that block us. We have prayed for those barriers to break down. Yet, you have prepared a fig tree beside us so that we can experience your work by overcoming barriers. We pray now, let those who meet us experience your grace and work through us. Let our families, workplaces, and society become more transparent and bright through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Be with those that hope and determine to realize that the internal and external problems are paths to get to know God better and to live the life of linking path between God and others, from now and forevermore. Amen.